This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Harry circled Draco, enjoying a sense of power. Draco's shoulders tense a little. Anxious Harry didn't want that.
Dave, read it so like a jazz DJ at 3 in the morning.
So he smoothed a reassuring hand down Draco's bare back. Watching muscles relax.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Nah, He-Man, now I will be Skeletor.
Is that
now
better?
Now comes FNF from space.
Is that better?
Oh. Yes.
No, you took away the echo.
No, it's that's less fun.
Yes, yeah, I took away the echo. I'm sorry. Do you want your echo? Do you want it back?
I mean, it's put it on the
dungeon. All right, well, hold on a second. Let's see. You know what? Give it a try, simply because I want to see how. I want you to see
all
how
right,
hard it
I
is.
I go first. Steve, shut up. It's time for the most annoying noise.
Good, because
here
you're the only one that can hear the echo.
Now. No, I'm not kidding, Steve. If you take it away from me, I'm going to be even more annoying. And here it comes. Fuck!
Congratulations, David. Welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction, the internet podcast game show, hula hoop. Presented by Bob Barker and Bill Belichick.
Quick question, is there anything worth watching on CBS other than The Price is Right?
Antiques Roadshow?
It's on PBS, you clod.
Then no. And why am I a clod? And how is that an insult?
I don't know.
You're a crystal clod. Paradox says it.
You're a dirt clod.
You're even less than cloud. Cloud was kind of dumbass.
I know. Anyways, it's time for more Malhao Shoujo.
Hang on. Not yet, it's not. Steve-O, hit the upbeat music. Rob Schneider is an internet video game remixer until he has to read fanfiction every week for the internet. Now he's about to discover that alcohol isn't all it's cracked up to be. Rob Schneider is Friday Night Fanfiction, rated M for Mature.
Wait, he is the fanfiction or he's in the fanfiction?
Holy shit, why have we not read Rob Schneider fanfiction?
I'm going to need to canvas you all because I'm doing a panel on terrible erotic fanfiction this coming Saturday night, and I don't have the material I should. So,
God, really?
Yes,
Steve-O,
really.
Being bad at shows.
And I'm technically being an ambassador from the United States, so I don't know. I think this is a lose-lose situation for me.
You know
me.
What I really want to do? I want to get Kevin Conroy on the show, but secretly, so none of y'all know about it. And then we read just like Batman goes through his normal day.
We're not going to do Doomsday Womb.
No, it would be a normal like Batman sitting down and doing his taxes kind of day, and then it would just be Kevin Conroy talking about doing taxes in the Batman voice.
I wonder if there's any Shawshank Redemption fanfiction, because then we could get Morgan Freeman on to read it.
There is, but okay, so in Google results for Rob Schneider fanfiction, we have The Seven Sins of Harry, Chapter 4, Enter Rob Schneider.
Oh god.
Oh, sorry, no, Enter Rob Schneider and LucasArts.
Oh god.
We have Mysterion and the Vengeful Idiot, Part 1, where the result included there is because Rob Schneider does a better job pulling that off. Apparently that's a bit of dialogue. We have Rob Schneider One Shot for Pony Boys Girl 1 on Wattpad. We have Grown Ups Fanfiction, Chapter 1, The Call on Wattpad.
No.
Well, oh, it's on Wattpad because it would star Rob Schneider as Rob Hillard, whoever that is. We have Will Wheaton on Twitter saying Mitt Romney, Power Bottom, Rob Schneider, Clown Mask, fanfiction, hashtag why did I Google at midnight.
I will say I've found something that I absolutely need to submit for us to read next season based on
And then we have just Rob Schneider's Twitter account.
Based on something that I found friggin', like, I had mentioned it a while ago. Also, here's the link for tonight, guys. Here's my version. I have it locked down so Roy can't do any ghost edits.
That's fun.
Perish the thought.
Perish the thought. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, Steve. Anyways, also, Larry the Cable Guy goes to Equestria.
Also, I need to be able to do edits so I can put in the resume point.
I thought we had the resume point. Where? Wait,
This is the last week anyway.
Well, it might be the last week. Where are we starting? Page 109 or something?
It's around there. Let me.
I do not remember.
Finish looking up.
Did we type it in the last one? Oh no, we're floundering already. Oh, David, you just said stop sending me messages. Yeah, fuck you. I'm logging out of Steam. No,
I got there first. Eat it, Steve.
Oh, you jerk bag. All right, Roy, where are we at?
It won't. It's like saying one of one results found. It won't jump to it. Fucking jump to it, Jesus.
I'm sure it was like 104.
Which one is it? 108 or 109?
I don't know.
Did it finish last time with Enchufuamu, or did it finish with Essence?
115. Holy crap! Seriously?
Yep. Jeez. I remember this. At the end of the last scene, Harry stroked Glenn's hair and smiled down at her. You're not worn out. She shook her head, and then FNF resumed.
All right. So it is page 115. If you're looking at Roy's or my version, just do a control F on P115. Hopefully we'll stop today, because I do not like this. I have not liked this for a very long time.
Oh, baby.
That's going to have the fun stuff in it.
Also joining us tonight are Temsu and Steve Van Sickle, and Val's going to be reading because Logan has decided wrestling is more important.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You kicked him from the call, right?
And honestly, I'd like to see Val start.
You kicked him from the call, right?
Okay.
I don't want him joining in halfway through the fucking shit.
I actually can't kick him from the call when the call's going.
Yeah, you can.
How?
I don't know.
I was going to say, are you better at something? Like, are you better at Skype than I am? Because...
Oh, you know, most video games.
Anyways, go ahead, Val. Please read page 115. Oh, wait, Roy, did you do your infirmature thing?
Oh, no,
yes,
you didn't.
I did. I did a commercial.
Can you do it again?
He said, Rob Schneider is being
This podcast is rated infirmature, unless you're Rob Schneider, piss off.
Rob Schneider was one time walking through the forest until one day he went at sonic speed.
Oh no.
God.
Oh no.
Wow, Taylor.
Rob Schneider was the castle.
Rob Schneider is the castle. Rated R for.
All right, referee, please.
What? Thank you.
I'm kind of envious.
Holy said.
You've only had about 10 minutes to catch your breath, but you're in a lot better shape than we are.
Dot, dot, dot. Len twisted in Harry's lap to give the fairy a look. She didn't say anything, but Holly understood the succubus completely. Her eyes practically shouted at the pair, lightweights. And that's in quotation. I don't know why.
Lightweights.
Woo!
Lightweights.
Harry laughed sheepishly. It couldn't deny that. Harry and Holly had a long way to go before they could keep up with one of the girls in bed. It was both dreading and eagerly awaiting the time the girls would gang up on Amethyst or himself.
You've got a point, Len, but it's only been one day. We'll get better.
Thank you, Benetton child number 17.
You're welcome.
The succubus nodded and turned back around to properly cuddle with Harry.
Cuddling. Come on, follow protocol. Yeah.
The demigod shook his head fondly at his familiar and booted up this laptop.
His laptop, and I'm pretty sure he booted it up because, you know, surrounded by hot familiars, he's just going to go watch porn instead.
Oh, that's what
it's because it overheated.
Well, use the other link. It's got fun edits in it.
No!
How are you going to know what's trademarked or not?
Do it. I'm pretty sure
I can
do it.
I think we're considered fair use.
They'll never know.
It would be a couple hours yet before everyone would be asleep and he could end their Gryffindor Tower trademark. And so he and Holly would pass the time working on the shooting spell. Prisma Cruz joined the laptop on the table and the pair set to work.
At some point, with all of that friggin' pseudo-German, this has got to turn into like a Toho-style shmup. At some point, please.
Oh, well, it's basically Prisma Cross.
Yeah.
It's literally Prism Cross. Someone says Prism Cross like when he first names it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the stat sheets called it Prism Cross.
Yeah. Holly, I'm thoughtfully while staring at the screen. Staring. Not starring. Darn it.
While Starling, the Pokemon.
Yes. While Starling at the screen, funding himself.
Maybe we'd be better off modifying a wand spell for use rather than creating a new shooting spell whole clot.
Whole clot? Okay.
That's not a bad idea, but we need something pretty simple and straightforward to use, Harry replied.
Harry, your voice is kind of feminine. Is there something you want to tell us for 5 paragraphs?
Oh, that's before. That's because my balls haven't dropped yet.
Why am I married to you?
They dropped a tiny bit, then right back.
Why?
Because of things like this.
It's because both of you stood in a ceremony for a few hours, and you probably said some words, and then kissed, and you're Jewish, so like did one of you like step on a glass bottle or something? I don't know how Jewish.
No, but part of his family, including his mom, was in the room. And silence came from Steve-O.
Are you done?
Yes. Well, not my page.
That's
but.
So we're letting you read.
The elemental pierced her lips and dug through her memory for a usable spell. There were thousands of spells in the Hogwarts trademark library and Harry's own personal collection. Most of them, though, were ill-suited to modification and mass use in combat like the pair was attempting to do. Still, there were a couple of spells that would fit their criteria.
How about the old Night Slayer spell?
She proposed.
I'm never going to be able to sleep next to you again.
Oh, yes, you will.
I can only sleep next to her now.
Are we going to end up on an episode of Jerry Springer?
Only one?
Oh, you're right. We'd be a two-parter.
Yeah. Harry paused to peruse his memory for the spell Holly mentioned. The Percussio, or Piercing Curse, nicknamed the Night Slayer, was an old battle spell commonly taught around 1500 years ago. Oh, just like 1500 years ago. It was a simple but effective variant of the piercing hex originally developed to fight armed and armored muggles at range. Unlike most curses of the same type, the Percussio could pierce through the iron and steel armor plate and layered shields worn by muggle soldier, hence the name Night Slayer. I have no idea why you need to do that because, okay, you could just rose them in.
Also, Night Slayer is opening for Nightwish on the upcoming Night Night tour.
What about Dark Knight?
No.
It needs to be Dark Knight or,
What about Arabian Night with a
Kana?
Or Wish Slayer?
Wish Slayer? Yeah. Dream Master? Wish Master? Yeah. Master Master? Master Blaster?
Masturbator.
We're not doing it! We're not doing that Bastion thing again!
Yes, Nightwish!
No! We're fucking not!
Enough of this disasturbation.
Fuck you, Val Reed! In this episode, Steve-O raises his voice. Wow.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Free square.
The bingo card. Hang on, where's the bingo card?
Free square.
All right, everybody's got to get out their bingo card. The winner gets to hear me yell at them.
It's really not fair for us to do it, but...
We shouldn't do it then. Just let them do it.
No, yeah. But I've done the calculations, see, and it'll all be great if we all do it.
How do you quantify it'll all be awesome?
I see what you did there.
Whatever.
I haven't actually looked. Maybe they updated the bingo card.
Don't you still have the rest of the paragraph to go, or was that it?
No, I'm done.
Okay, I'll go next.
Well, that's page 116 now.
Okay, I thought, because I saw Night Slayer, I got lost in terms of where we were. My bad! Prosciutto was east to cast. Easy to cast.
Did you call it prosciutto?
Yes, prosciutto. Oh, isn't geez. That how it's spelled?
Oh, but you're allowed to just make edits on the fly in your brain mind.
Yeah,
voice.
In my brain mind.
Yes.
Prosciutto was easy to cast, only needing to point the wand at the target and lethal. The spell fell into disuse by the public in Britain shortly after the Statute of Secrecy became law. Law enforcement also discarded the spell due to its lethality, and the purebloods preferred to use more elaborate magic to kill their enemies. The ministry moved the curse from the USDA syllabus around the same time.
Because they're in London, Ontario. Wait, what?
I'm sorry, the DADA. The DADA. DADA?
Defense against the
DADA. Da-da-da-da.
The spell, like many others, God, we're all so done with this. There's just no humor left in it at all. Sat in the forbidden...
Oh, I'm just focusing on finishing up the last couple of trademarks.
The spell, like many others, sat in the forbidden section of the library for centuries.
That could work!
Harry replied. The demigod opened up a new file and typed out the equations for the spell for the pair to study. He grinned as he looked through the spell formula. The piercing curse had aged rather gracefully over the years. It would move too slowly for them as it was. But a few tweaks could straighten that out. The arithmancy? Arithmancy?
Arithmancy.
Arithmancy. Then Nancy Mancy behind it was simple and could be easily modernized and upgraded to serve on a new battlefield. Coming this summer from Treyarch.
Oh, I was totally thinking,
I'll like wait for Soul new Calibur. Battlefield Wii. I like the full player
New Battlefield Wii U?
Yeah.
Oh, they're actually making that? Like, my brain kind of hurts right now. Anyways.
Yeah, joke, Steven.
Oh, I don't get humor right now. I just want this to be done. I wonder, he mused after a strike of inspiration. Harry pulled up a file for a Belkin-style casting triangle and plugged the piercing curse in.
Ooh, wow.
But Belkin-style? Is that like kind of waffle-style or what?
Captain Falcon, show me your moves!
No.
Rather than putting it in the center of the formation, he placed a copy of the spell in each of the three corners. Holly floated down to the keyboard.
Suddenly the Triforce appeared, and Zelda was like, you're actually the chosen one for all three Triforce pieces. It ain't that something.
Dab-a-doo-da.
You know, I think it would come down to say, you know, you're a little effeminate to be the hero of time.
No, Link is pretty effeminate too, depending of the era.
You know, I never thought about it that way.
That tunic.
Yeah, like, who wears a tunic without pants?
Now it's getting uncomfortable.
I've got a fic about that. Where Ganondorf basically bones Link in front of Hyrule Castle in that one cutscene from Ocarina of Time.
Holly floated down to the keyboard to assist her partner. Assist her partner. With the Link, it was easy for her to see what he was planning. Harry was trying to combine three piercing curses into a single shot. The connecting equations would bind the spells together and increase the speed of the shot. The central formation would... Oh, seriously?
I don't think that's how it works.
The central formation would govern
now
the
spell. Now that they've come up with this spell, let me revise you on the stat sheets. Let's begin.
The central formation would govern the spell's starting position, number, and angle of attack.
It's going to be on the test, that's why.
It needed some refinements before it would be combat-worthy. Star Trek science was more soft than this!
No, because all the Star Trek science had to do was reverse the polarity and put too much air in a balloon.
The deflector disc always solved all the problems when every weapon was out. Always.
Bounce the graviton particle beam off the main deflector dish.
Exactly. Yes. In fact, every single friggin' Enterprise ship after that should have just come with 19 bajillion deflector discs. No other weapons are needed. Okay, where
We've
was
got
that?
A great new model on this, on the Enterprise. We made it 89% deflector dishes. How's that work for you?
See, the speed holes, they make the cargo faster. Like, but it was
Shouldn't we have something to actually propel us through space? Nope, deflector dish.
No, we'll just...
deflector dish. It's gonna push us away.
Yeah.
The anti-gravity chronotons.
No, the deflector disc just shoots more deflector discs out and using Newton's third law of aerodynamics, it just displaces the ship. If Harry's idea worked, it might be possible to do the same thing with other spells like the Blasting Curse, or even mix three spells together for new effects. I think it'll work, Holly said an hour later. We'll need another day or two of work and to test fire it in the ROR to work out the bugs, but it looks good. What'll we call it? Harry considered it for a moment. The spell was inspired by a German named spell.
Uh-huh.
And cast by a German named device. So maybe he should just stick with the theme. How about we call it...
Yes, that's
how
it's called.
Or at least pretend like you can read German.
How about we call it Wiener Schnitzel?
No,
how about we call it Scheißefondant?
Yeah.
Holy Lance? She asked. Why name it that? He shrugged. If it works right, it'll look like a lance of light when we use it. And as a demigod, our magic should have at least some holy properties. That'd explain why our Patronus can kill Dementors, at least. Therefore, we should call it Holy Lance. All in favor of Holy Lance, say aye.
No. All opposed?
Everyone is opposed and for it at the same time. Steve, you gotta read my version. It's got the fun. It's got fun edits.
No, I don't want to read your version. I just want to go.
It's got fun in it.
Fun in it.
Yes.
Fun in it.
Ooh, I've got some dough reads. Those are fun.
Can I read it for the next one? I just want to get through this without switching tabs.
Steve, I don't give a shit.
Holy Lance. Okay, it was Holy Lance registered trademark.
Oh, Holy Lance Bass. Yes, it works for
hey. Word.
It works for me, Holly conceded. She checked the time in Gryffindor Tower through the wards and let out a sigh. That was not a sentence.
Can't believe I'm meeting Millhouse. Word.
Millpool. They had been at work.
Everything's coming up, Harry.
Well, they had been at work for longer than she had thought. It was 11:30 at night, and everyone in the tower was asleep. Even the Weasley twins were sleeping.
Harry, it's time.
Welcome to Friday Night Fanfiction. Nothing escapes. I mean... Well, we're going to have lots of fun.
Harry saved their progress and shut down the laptop.
Beep boop.
Len.
No, that's not descriptive enough. He saved their progress by hitting Control S. Then he clicked on the X in the top right corner of the window and closed it. Then he clicked on the start menu and
hit power down and then waited for another 40.
Waited for the
Windows Vista laptop to shut down.
Oh my goodness.
But it was getting stuck trying to close a program. So he chose end task. It asked him, "Are you sure?" And he said yes.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then it shut down.
Len, it's time to get up. We have some work to do. Len awoke with a yawn and stretched her arms. She then shifted back to cat form and took her place on Harry's shoulder.
Meow, what should we do? Fuck!
Wise.
All right, do the voice of fucking...
Meow!
Cat from Sabrina. Whatever his name was.
Oh, Salem? Oh.
Yeah, Salem?
Yeah. I thought it was something less obvious. I don't know why.
No, it's Sabrina the Teen Witch.
What should we deal with first? Hermione's family or her and Neville? He pondered aloud. Oh, wait, that was Harry. Fuck! Never mind! The whole thing's done! It's all done! I'd recommend dealing with Hermione's family first, Holly opined. They'll be a lot easier to deal with. Harry nodded and said, "All right, we'll do it that way. 47 X's, page 117, David."
Said 147?
117!
This doesn't go that high, thank God.
The trio of mind readers entered the Gryffindor third year girls' dorm like a specter. Not a sound was made as Harry padded his way to Hermione's bed. Silent student sleeping spells were tossed around the room for extra security while the trio rewrote their friends' memories.
You'd think he would be able to do that, like, not point blank.
Have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis? Turns out he was a Sith Lord.
Also, I'm probably still a good guy, but Sith Lords were pretty badass.
I think that you tend to have an aversion to sand.
Anakin. The Sith have the power to save pregnant women from dying during childbirth.
Yes, it's called epidural.
I love the water.
It's epidural. Harry opened the curtains around Hermione's bed and paused while looking upon the bushy-haired busybody.
It's not going where you think it is, except that it sort of is.
Their friendship was framed. And may come to an end at any time, but the demigod was still reluctant to trespass in such a manner. Unfortunately, he didn't have much choice. Hermione was a security threat, and he had to be dealt with as such. Lynn, he said, will you give Holly and me some support? I'd rather not cause any more damage than necessary.
Is there any more sex in this, or no?
No.
Fuck.
No more citrus?
No, it's all grapefruit.
Oh, well, not a grapefruit. It's okay.
Lynn hopped from his shoulder to the bed and took up station at the crown of Hermione's head. The succubus's crimson eyes regarded Harry for a moment, and then she nodded. She would help the pair perform their psychic surgery.
Thanks, Lynn.
Beep boop.
Harry told the familiar. What?
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 Beep boop.
Oh, beep boop. Oh, that's what it was. Harry let out a breath of relief. Lynn's help would make the process much smoother and likely to work properly. Harry took a seat at Hermione's side without disturbing the bed. He then drew his wand and shared a look with Holly. She nodded to show her readiness. The pair then looked to Lynn, who also nodded. Harry sucked in a breath, pointed his wand at Hermione. Le Gillimans! Oh no,
Le Gillimans.
X's.
So, this is who you really are.
Harry mused as he looked around Hermione Granger's mindscape. Hermione's mind looked like a cross between Hogwarts library, the Gryffindor common room, and her home. Man, it's fucking boring. You know how cool it is in my brain? There's at least 7 Batman at every time.
Only, not yet, only I at least. With
this new Psychonauts DLC, we can find out.
Yeah, DLC.
Filled up bookshelves lined half the walls, and more rows of them were lined up through the room. Several pieces of furniture copied from Gryffindor common room sat nearby along with other furniture from her home, creating a cozy reading area. The walls without bookshelves held objects and pictures of places and significant people to Hermione.
Hermione?
Hermione.
Yes.
Hermione!
Alright, Temsu, you're up.
Hooray!
Yeah.
You'd better be reading my fun version.
Otherwise.
Harry walked over to the pictures for a closer look.
Little louder.
Little louder, little sexier.
And brushed a photo of Hermione's family.
Perfect.
Foreign emotions, no doubt Hermione's, entered the demigod's mind. Love, God, trust, funny. Exasperation.
Love again. Feelings. More trust, more love, more exasperation.
Feminine. I mean, what?
Tampons.
Yeah, the emotion feminine.
The feminine emotion
emanated from the picture. Harry pulled his hand away and walked down the row of pictures. As he did, he noticed cracks forming on the walls. They were small at the moment, but to Harry, they were a sign that Hermione was pushing herself too hard. Over time, the cracks would grow and shatter the girl's psyche if she didn't learn some moderation.
Yeah.
He walked past the representation of Hermione's wand to peruse the other images. And here I am, Harry noted as he came upon his own picture. A balance sat underneath the image on a desk. Feeling curious, he touched the frame. Jealousy, admiration, anger, affection, fear, safety, desire, disgust. Her feelings were a study in contrasts. She both looked up to Harry for his abilities and accomplishments and hated him for the same reasons. He was what she hoped to become. Hermione's feelings for him sat on a scale. When she learned something new about him, the scales tilted towards positive or negative. Currently, her feelings for the demigod were tilting towards the negative.
He wanted to go. Those are really good numerical values for us to look at.
Only for his picture to change for a moment. Harry stifled a laugh when he deduced the reason. Amethyst! Hermione was jealous of his unisoned, trademark, form's beauty. The fact that Harry was considered to be more attractive than Hermione rankled, and seeing him turn into a woman made it even worse.
Wait, did somebody say cankles?
Yes.
Cankles. Yeah, Hermione grew cankles when she saw Harry's.
Where does the calf fat end and the ankle begin? Who knows? That's half the fun.
Vote for me for president.
I want to be president.
El president.
Let him read.
The lingering suspicion that Amethyst was what he really looked like, caused by the day's rumors and her own imagination, just fed the girl's jealousy even more. She didn't actually believe the rumors, but she couldn't discard the possibility that they were true.
Yeah.
Harry looked over his shoulder to see Len padding up to him. Holly rode the cat like a horse, prompting a giggle from Harry.
No.
Really, the whole story would have been better if you just imagined him as a sad clown.
Meh,
he remarked.
Were you two looking around as well?
Mm-hmm.
Holly hummed in answer.
It's actually pretty interesting in here, if a bit rigid. Hermione's got a good head on her shoulders.
Oh.
It's just far removed enough from Kermit that it's perfect.
It sounds like one of the random people that beats up the Chosen One from Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Chosen One!
No. It's like, should we keep going?
He said to keep hitting him until he said stop.
Did he ask for his towel?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
The demigod pointed at the cracks in the wall.
Not if she doesn't learn how to manage her health better. Anyways, did you find the memories we need?
Conductor.
Oh, yeah, that was sexy. Wait. Say that again.
Need.
Oh, yeah. One more time. I'm almost there. I mean, nothing.
Need.
Oh, there I go. Sorry, what? Oh.
The elemental flew up to land on Harry's shoulder. Yeah, we found them over there. What have you got here, though?
Steve.
Steve.
Oh, I found Steve over there.
Oh, hey, Steve.
Harry turned to face his image once again.
This? I guess you could say that this is Hermione's perception of me.
Nope, sphincter clenching!
The scale seems to represent her feelings about me.
No!
What did you do for it to look like that?
Holly asked while pointing at the tilted balance. The boy let out a sigh.
That's not McGucket, that's fucking what's his name?
It's MacGuffin?
Toby.
Toby, it's Toby. Right. Thank you.
It seems that she's rather jealous of our looks.
Holly giggled for a moment and then shook her head.
That's not a surprise. We'd make supermodels green with envy. And Hermie wants only a 13-year-old girl. There's no way she wouldn't be jealous.
Okay. You know, Hermie means a couple of different things. So
it's Hermie 1. So, you know.
You've got a point, her partner conceded. Anyways, we should get to work. Len, what are you doing?
The succubus had been carefully studying the picture of her master trademark. Len reached out and took and poked the picture, which shimmered. God damn it.
Oh, he jumped into it and went, wah, 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 wah.
Harry
wanted to go.
She did. The picture didn't look any different to him, so why did it shimmer like that?
What the? Holly muttered. I don't get it. Is something different?
Len ignored the fairy's questions and instead led Harry by the hand to the section of Hermione's mind containing her recent memories. A set of freshly printed books sat on a mostly empty shelf.
This is what we need?
No. Harry
questioned. He reached out and picked up the most recent book. It was Hermione's Memories of the Day.
Harry, I have memories of when we weren't reading this story. They're very quickly fading, but I'm holding on to them for dear life.
And registers.
Harry read through the book for any sign that Hermione had already talked about her visit to his home. Fortunately, it appeared that the Gryffindor hadn't spilled the beans yet.
Beans.
Beans.
That's a Harry great word.
Harry put the book back. Sigh of relief. At least he wouldn't have to hunt down and mind rape anyone else. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's... I looked at that while I was just skimming through just now, and I'm like, fuck off, God.
That's, like, not even good.
That's another one that, Steve-O, just, I don't particularly like having to...
Mind rape?
That's not even good bad. The demigod turned his attention to the books immediately prior to that. Harry plucked out the previous book in the series, which showed Hermione's memories of his house.
Then, he said, I'll need your help with this.
The good thing is I picked something out for us to read that will definitely be satisfying after we're done this.
Oh, thank God.
All right, Roy.
Oh, you're going to have to read now, Roy.
Ha-ha.
118.
120, I think.
Len took the book into her hands and focused on it. She passed it back to Harry a minute later. He took the book from Len with a raised eyebrow, the left one, and skimmed through it. Len had done exactly as he wanted. The specifics of what Hermione had seen were blurred and distorted beyond use, but the feelings behind them were still intact.
Is there any chance that an interrogator could reconstruct the memory completely?
Fanfic!
He asked.
Probably not. Len.
The succubus thought for a moment and shook her head. No, no wizard would be able to put the pieces together. Because she wasn't a Harry Potter character, she was a Maho whatever character, which means she's fucking perfect. Where was I?
That's what we've been reduced to.
Harry bent down to give Len a peck on the lips in gratitude.
Rah! Thanks, Len! I didn't know what we would have done without you!
It's like the story would have just ended there!
Darn.
I wish!
I would have hated that.
I know!
Cue ragtime! Actually, Google, if you Google for like royalty free ragtime, there's like a full there's a site with like 50 different ragtime piano songs files that you can download. It's awesome.
Self-syncopation.
You know, I actually don't even want to read the original incarnation of the story anymore, even though it has apparently way more sex. Just having to slog through this, no interest at all in any of these original creations. None.
I don't have again, interest I read in the
first
anything
two
anymore.
Chapters of I read the first two chapters of the fanfic. This is based off of Fate's Day, Fate's Gamble. Fate's Gamble. And it's like I read the first two chapters and I figured out, like, you know, extrapolated what happened, but a lot of Harry's like attitude, like his actual kind of personality, did come from that fic. It's not just something that this author came up with. Like, the whole point of this alternate universe is it's one where Harry is way more psychopathic in general.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, surprise.
So Len puffed up. Sorry.
What have you done without you?
Len puffed. Well, fucking. I hit a key and that suddenly jumped me out of somewhere. Len puffed up her chest in pride. I'm here. Then, taking Harry by the hand, she led him and Holly back out of Hermione's mind. X, 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 X.
Every single time they go to X's, I just think they go off for ice cream.
X. X's in my head are air horns now.
Oh, okay.
Are you done?
Beautiful.
Well, no, that wasn't enough X's, but I'll be done for now. The group came back to reality, still seated around their target. No one had stirred during the mind dive. I'll be by the mind dive bar. Harry carefully scooped Len up from the bed and teleported to the boys' dorm to repeat the process because he was super lazy with Neville after removing the spells he had cast. What a mess, Holly said as she looked around the dorm room. Dirty clothes sat in piles beside most of the beds and items were piled haphazardly around the students' trunks. Just in case you didn't get the fact that Harry is perfect and none of the Hogwarts students are, they're also really unclean. The house elves.
They're all teenagers.
The house elves. Well, no, because they get weighted on hand and foot by house elves, and apparently that includes laundry. House elves obviously hadn't gotten around to cleaning the room yet. Loud snores came from several of the beds. Probably still Holly. I guess they haven't learned silencing words either. Harry carefully picked his way through the mess to reach Neville's bed and opened the curtains. The boy was lying on his side, sound asleep. Once again, sleeping and silencing spells were tossed around.
We'll do this the same way we did with Hermione, then,
Harry told his companions as he set Len on the bed. The demigod's wand came out again. The wand was kind of feminine. It was a little wide around the hips area. How a wand has hips is any complete mystery, but what do I know? I'm just writing.
You can hear Steve-O's soul dying.
It's mainly because I've only got one word left in my section.
Just do it already!
L-E-G-I-L-I-M-E-N-S.
And you failed the spelling bee to boot. Fuck you. Valerie, it's your turn.
Is it L-E-G-I-L-I-M-E-N-S?
Do I have to?
Yes, do it.
X, 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 X,
and death.
Shit. Harry looked around Neville's mindscape with interest. Len at his side and Holly on his shoulder. I guess we should have expected something like this. Oh, wait, it's like this? Holly. Is it like Holly, is it Holly, Harry, so or is Len?
Does it matter?
Whatever. Len doesn't
only for the voices. Neville's mindscape took the image of a greenhouse. It was filled with greenery. Plans grew firstly.
Oh, she came up with a name for this house that's full of greenery.
I know.
Fuck if I can think of what it'll be called.
I think we'll call it the house that's full of greenery.
And that is also green.
Hang on, say that as
Carl. It's Casa Verde.
I think we'll call it the house that's full of greenery. Is that better?
That's a great name, Carl.
Sure, that's a great name, Carl.
All right.
Sorry.
Plans grew firstly, with patches of brown, dead-looking plants sitting in random spots. There was an order to the place, but finding it would be difficult. No wonder Neville always had memory problems, Harry said.
That must be all that paint he was licking.
Oh, wait.
No wonder Neville always had memory problems.
I don't think he did always have memory problems.
No, he
was kind of, he was a little forgetful, but...
This is not the time for a serious debate.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. What else have we got going on?
Alright, he shook his head and turned his attention to something else. Statues littered the greenhouse, representing people important to Neville. How statues litter anything, I have no clue. Each statue had its own personal flower bed. Harry moved closer to inspect the statues. The one before him was that of a tall, stern-looking old woman. She was clad in a typical robe and wore a witch's hat with a stuffed vulture stuck to it. Scraggly plants were planted in a circle around the statue. It looked like the flowerbed had been taken over by weeds.
Scraggly pants were panted.
Blue yes. waffles.
Sorry. I really feel like this is a point-and-click adventure game right now.
It's moving so slow.
Yeah, and because you're getting all the descriptions, it's like you have the time to notice all
Harry,
that.
Has anybody won the bingo yet?
Harry took the stick that he had picked up 10 hours ago and started rubbing it on every conceivable
DG, don't tell me to not look up dragon mating in the fic you sent me, because I'm going to look up dragon mating in the fic you sent me now.
Yeah, that's pretty much a guarantee at that
Yeah. point. All right. Small, dull flowers bloom on the plants. Harry stretched out a finger to touch one of the flowers. Harry was drawn into a memory of Neville being lectured by a woman. She turned out to be his grandmother, Augusta Longbottom. In the memory, she was lecturing Neville about how he should be more like his father. The memory contained feelings of shame and sadness. It was an old memory, for shortly before Neville had started Hogwarts. The demigod withdrew his hand and walked away from the statue. It was no wonder Neville had such low self-esteem when they had met. Judging by the look of the garden, Neville had been on the receiving end of such lectures for years.
Oops. Oh, no! I look like a girl!
Oh, god damn it, Steve-o.
Sorry.
I dropped the cap of my drink.
And how does singing The Offspring do that?
The trio tracked through.
The trio... That's a tongue twister yes. right there.
That's a tongue twister. The trio tracked through.
Thanks, Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck.
it was more like Sylvester, but wait, yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. The Garden of Memories towards the center of Neville's mindscape. Harry froze and shocked when he saw the statue sitting in this in the center of Neville's mind. Instead of Mindscape. It was a statue of Harry and the Amethyst standing back-to-back on the marble pedestal. Both figures were masterfully carved. Yes, pedestal.
It's a pedestal.
Pedestorbation. Both figures were masterfully carved, showing that Neville had burned their image into his heart. Okay. Even Amethyst, who Neville had only seen for a pair of hours, had been lovingly recreated in marble. Harry circled the statue to take it in from every angle.
He masturbates to it.
Yes. From every angel. Alright. Hey! Oh.
Hey, isn't there something different about this statue of you, Harry?
Holy ass, while pointing.
Just
got some boobs!
The chest looks a little off!
Oddly feminine.
Oh, you were totally on it, on spot on, David.
Oh, I know. I know how these things work.
Boobs? Harry asked.
Harry's got boobs.
Indeed, the statue of him actually had modest bust line visible underneath the armor.
Oh god, yes.
So you think I'm a girl?
Oh my god!
Wow, Harry, someone thinks you're a girl.
Didn't
I wonder why that
this
is.
One?
Let's
modest bus line. What a load of shit! He's got a slamming rack.
Yeah, it's like easily a double H cup,
which is also a C cup.
Yep,
it's not a double H cup.
No,
it's also a C cup.
Yeah, which were a C cup.
Oh,
there was a Britain. There was a Britain porn model I used to follow who had double.
Just A's. Keep going.
I think my character in Corruption Steve of Champions has double H cup.
Steve-O is saying that because I have two lines left to read.
You know what's great in Batman? Yes. There's a pub called the Beard Stroker.
No,
I'm serious. Like, I just passed it. Let me get a screenshot. I'll post it to the Nighthorse thing.
I'm going to ignore the fact that you're playing games right now, David.
I could be playing a fucking multiplayer game that would take my concentration, but no, I'm playing a single-player game like a nice gentleman.
Is this like Be Thankful, the devil you know versus the devil you don't know? Val, finish, please!
Finish this.
Oh, yeah! Oh, you mean not
finish
that?
Finish him, Valerie. Finish him.
Have some paella. Steve, just have some paella, bro.
No! Look at where the statues are!
It's great to be a homeowner, Steve, because you can make as much noise as you want.
I know! I burp and fart as much as I want!
You still can't get it to pass the levels I reach.
We're not having this competition on the air, Val. Finish your goddamn section!
Oh, section? The sex
yes.
now?
Yeah! No, we already got past the sex.
Look at where the statues are positioned to, Ollie pointed out. Why are they on a pedestal and why are they sitting in the center of Devil's Mindscape?
Len covered her mouth with a hand and stared at the pair with laughing eyes. Laughing eyes? Yeah. The meaning was obvious to her. Oh, I mean, it wasn't like, she wasn't asking, Holly wasn't asking, like, sarcastically? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Harry shook his head and focused on the flowerbed of memories around the statue instead. Unlike the one around the Augustus statue, the flowerbed here was a riot of colors. Flowers of all types filled the flowerbed to the limit. Lilies, roses, tulips, beer cans, even flowers that Harry had never seen before found a home here. There.
We kept throwing rocks.
Everywhere.
Wow, you sure thinks rather highly of us.
Holly said.
Look at all those memories and the way they're shown. It's a lot different from the memories of his grandmother.
The demigod nodded absently as he took in the colorful flowers. This is the prettiest bunch of bullcrap!
Hey!
Hi, Judy!
What's going on over there?
Hi, you want water?
Oh, he got up and left. Great.
I'm right here, you dumb. Oh, he got up and left. He's turned his attention away from this for one moment. Clearly he is gone. I'm Steve. This is what I sound like.
I'm like, I'm an 11-year-old. The moment you leave the room, I want you back. I think you might not exist anymore.
Wait, you want me back like the Michael Jackson song?
No, I want you back like the Backstreet Boys want you back no, to the Backstreets.
That is the
I want you back like my baby god.
Yeah. He knew that Neville was grateful to him for the help that Harry gave him over the years, but to see it like this? Harry didn't
I want
even
some boobs.
Harry didn't even know where to begin looking for the memory of the weekend. Len, could you help us find the memory we need?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Astor the Explorer.
Like the corner of my mind.
Hey, you know what? A dot 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 is now this.
Bah, bah,
ellipses
bah.
And sweet memories.
The succubus tiptoed through the tulips, like Tiny Tim used to do, to reach a particularly lovely flower near the center of the bed. She touched it to confirm it was the correct one, and then beckoned Harry over. A mischievous smile graced her lips. What's with that smile, Len? Yeah! Harry asked cautiously. If he didn't know better, he'd have thought that Len was about to pull a prank on him. She wouldn't do that in someone else's mind, though. Surely. Harry touched the flower and was pulled into the memory. I'm getting paid $300 to read this crap? Alright. Harry found himself staring at Amethyst through Neville's eyes and feeling his emotions as Harry's unison, which is a trademark of the Disney Corporation, form was revealed for the first time. Harry felt Neville's awe and his penis as he looked upon the most beautiful woman the Gryffindor had ever seen. I mean, he's obviously
never been
down to Melon Shakers.
At the start of the story, he invited all of these Hogwarts people to witness him do this stupid magical transformation and weapons demonstration out in Nevada. But now, also, that was stupid, so he now has to go and erase their memories of it. Why did he bring them?
Why did he go to Nevada in the first place?
He felt the boy's guilty desire when the person he looked up to most became a girl. Harry felt Neville's emotions when Amethyst unleashed the Starlight Breaker patent pending into the desert. He tasted the fear and shock Neville felt as he looked into the crater left behind.
He felt the lob of his knob inside his pants.
And along his corn cob. Harry also noted the relief the Gryffindor felt that it was Harry who held such awesome power.
Awesome
like the power of two wicked. The demigod looked into Neville's memories of the next morning, and his belief Harry was truly a Goyle. He felt...
A Goyle?
Yes.
Yes, a Goyle. G-I-O-L. Goyle.
A G-O-I-L-E.
He felt Neville's awkward crush on Harry turn into something different. Something between love and worshipfulness for the one who had done so much
drink
for him.
That, drink for that fucking non-word.
Oh, over the years.
Neville's an otaku.
There's no spell check error here. It's a word.
Piss off it is.
Harry jerked his hand away from the flower with a yelp.
That's a euphemism, right?
His cheeks burned as he considered what he just found. Neville thought he was a girl.
Goyle. Neville thought he was a girl. Neville thought he was a girl. Neville thought he was a girl.
I'm a girl.
And he had fallen for Harry. The hybrid boy was speechless. He hadn't expected something like that. That's when we need the Price is Right. Len's laughing eyes haunted Harry for a moment. Did you expect this, Len? The succubus nodded. She wasn't surprised by the revelation at all. Can we please just get this over with? He pleaded. Yes! All of us are saying the same goddamn thing!
Could we please just get this over with? Episode title.
Len stepped up to his side and took the flower in hand once again. Then he hit the quack button and it went... A fuckload of X's! And now it's David's turn.
My turn, eh?
You're on page 123.
123?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, you know Harry's a girl, right?
Yes, Steve.
No, it just looks like one.
All right, so.
Oh, damn it, somebody's eating on this show.
Get this, Steve. Harry sighed quietly as he trudged back to the tower, following in Lynn's wake. The succubus darted ahead of her master, sending a mysterious smile back to the demigod before entering Liz's bedroom. Harry quirked an eyebrow at Lynn's back, wondering why she was going to disturb the no-doubt sleeping pair. Boobs. He paused for a minute to get his head back on straight. It hadn't been easy in any sense of the word for the young demigod to modify five people's memories in the same night without damaging their personalities.
Five? Where'd the other three come from?
In fact, if not for Lynn's expert assistance, they would have had to remove the five memories of their visit to the house completely. The fact that he had to mind tamper two people.
Thank you.
He had considered friends didn't sit too well with him. Harry wouldn't hesitate to do anything. Never started to protect his family.
You're going to have to read that paragraph again.
No, you're good. You're good. Keep going.
Hold on.
Can you read without the chips?
Yes, but it's not as fun.
Harry hadn't hesitated to do anything necessary to protect
his
family.
I'll just rewrite the whole thing so that it sounds so it reads like your mouth full of chips anyway.
No, please don't do that. We're so close to finishing. Please.
But there were a few lines he preferred not to cross without a real need. Reading part of his friend's minds was one of them. Yet he totally just did it five times. Fucking stud. He didn't want to think about that.
He got someone else to do it.
So he's actually truly evil because he got other people to do his dirty work.
Yeah, and he's completely distanced himself from it.
He didn't want to think about what he found in Neville's mind. Neville was a nice boy, but Harry was only interested in girls. Damn it.
He's just a nice boy from a nice family.
Spare us this life of this monstrosity fanfiction.
Fanfiction! Let me go!
Let me die!
Let me come!
I don't want to read anymore. Enough of that. Oh, he's golden. We did what we had to do. Or would you rather let a threat to our family continue to exist?
Just so German quotes and miming, very, very frightening me.
So Harry shot a wry grin at his partner, you know me better than that, Holly. There were lines Harry couldn't cross lightly, true. But if his family was in jeopardy, he'd jump across those lines without a second thought. Nothing was more important to Harry than his family. Nothing.
Do it to the tune of Let It Go.
Holly returned Harry's grin with one of her own. Of course I know you better than that I am you. After all, that doesn't mean I can't give you a poke or two when I look like you're about to stumble.
Oh, that wasn't a euphemism, damn it.
It really should have been a euphemism, honestly.
Now do it like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme song.
No.
Damn it, Dave!
Look, it's all guitar solo, so I wouldn't say anything.
So it's like a normal chapter with you.
Exactly.
Come on, please finish. We only have 4 pages left.
We do. We have enough time to do a bonus.
That's why I have one picked out already.
Where would I be without all of you?
Dead.
The boy asked with a brightening smile.
Very dead.
Actually, I answered that. He would be like.
Answer that before?
He would have been beaten by Uncle Vernon. That was in the first chapter of Fate's Gamble. It's like Uncle Vernon would literally beat Harry.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happens after that. Like, he goes and visits the people that he become his family, and they like look at his wounds and say, "Who did this to you?" And I stopped reading at that point. I assume that they go and kill the Dursleys. I can only assume.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good times. Yeah, killing people who are, deserved to be going to killing trial. Killing people, whatnot.
Mind tampering.
Yeah, you know, lots of morally gray areas here. Harry stiffened in remembrance the time that Zellretch was shown Harry's life would be, have been, or fucking, oh god.
Harry stiffened.
Harry stiffened in remembrance of the time Zellretch had shown him what Harry's life would have been like had the old vampire not interfered.
"I saw nothing. I heard nothing. I know nothing,"
he said. He answered vehemently. The fairy burst into giggles upon hearing that. She knew how much Harry hated that sign line. Well, he hated it too. But this reaction was too funny for her to pass up on. "Come on, Harry. It might not have been that bad." Getting real barfy.
Hey, what
right
would
now
life have been like in the stand?
Are you, like, getting,
Harry
are you actually
universe?
Getting like legit barfy?
A little bit barfy.
Stop eating chips while reading fan fiction.
But,
well, he's done his section.
Okay, so now it's Temsu's turn. Don't get barfy,
okay,
Temsu.
Man, the canon Harry Potter universe sure would be terrible compared to my universe that I created.
I hate life.
No, you don't.
I'm a fan fiction author and I create the best universes for my characters. That other people
Holly,
created.
You know better than that. Our counterpart ended up married to one of our worst fangirls and was best friends with Ronald Weasley, of all people.
Oh, God.
Ronald Reagan!
That Harry looked like he was doped up on love potions, too. If we ever visit one of those timelines, I don't think I could stop myself from putting the local Harry out of his misery. Harry stated with a shudder. No one should have to suffer through having their free will violated like that.
The fuck?
What? So no one should have to suffer their free will violated like that. So if I ever met him, I would kill him.
It was one thing to surrender yourself to your lover willingly out of love and trust. But to have your free will taken out of your hands that way, to be made a prisoner in your own mind by a damn stalker.
What?
Harry would pull the moon down
Harry,
on himself.
You just finished mind tampering five people.
Has the moon hit Termini yet, please?
I wish.
Rather than allow that to happen to him.
"It could have been even worse," Holly said.
Reading the wrong version of the fic.
"Remember some of the stuff we saw when Grandpa showed us how to touch the second?"
Ah!
I don't want to know how it's
going to touch the second. Oh, no.
Harry shuddered in horror. "For the love of
pitches.
Our sisters."
I'm just saying.
Pitches.
No, I'm imagining the grandpa from Hey Arnold.
Oh, God.
No. That's actually awesome.
Yeah, come over here.
Look, grandpa from Rugrats.
Oh, that one too.
Oh. Are you trying to get these nightmares or something? Harry's early
Tommy, I'm going to show you how to touch the second.
To other versions of Harry Potter scattered across the infinite. However, hadn't bothered to warn his grandson that the multiverse held not only infinite wonders, but unspeakable horrors as well.
Read the fun version.
No.
Oh, come on.
He had witnessed counterparts of his suffer fates he wouldn't wish on anyone. He watched himself die in various horrible ways and be betrayed and tortured by those his counterparts should have been able to trust. He had even seen timelines where the local Harry had entered sexual relationships with trash like the Malfoy males and even Voldemort. Harry
so
had
okay, so this okay. The author is saying the canon Harry Potter universe is terrible. All other possible fan fictions of Harry Potter are terrible. My fan fiction is the only good one. God, I'm amazing, and Harry's kind of girlish. And God,
I really
I'm amazing.
Hope that the last three words in this fanfic are "kneel before Zod." That would make everything worth it. Okay, that's not a bold-faced lie, but it would make me feel better.
Harry had seen things that couldn't be unseen, and his young mind had been overwhelmed by the incident. Zelt had been forced to rewrite part of his mind so that the young boy wouldn't snap under the load of foreign memories he had absorbed. Though the old vampire had been completely successful at removing any mental contamination from the boy's counterparts, Harry retained some knowledge of what he had seen and a deep, instinctual hatred of the Malfoy family on top of the grudge against the family they had earned through their actions.
I wonder if the author's, like, aware of the incredibly, incredibly, incredibly sinister undertones and overtones and midtones and kind of bluish tones of this whole story.
Sorry, the spirit said in apology, shuddering as well. That incident happened before Harry had found Holly, but she shared the memory through their link, just like everything else. It's all right, he replied, forcing himself to calm back down. Harry set off for his room, ready to catch a bit of sleep. He reached out and opened his bedroom door. Just don't bring it up again, please. It'd be a pain if I had a reminder in the middle of teaching a class and end up flaying the ferret in front of my other students on reflex. That would be
Is that
rather...
what they call it these days, flaying the ferret?
Yep.
Yep. Unprofessional of me. Harry began to undress for bed.
Only for that.
Steven Seagal. Oh, hey. Hey, Roy. How does a 270,000-word explicit Harry Potter DC Universe comic verse crossover grab you?
Sounds great.
Well, I can't imagine anything else I'd rather do with a week.
Search for the word feminine and see how many times that comes up first.
Search for the word sex, or cum, or climax, or cock, or pussy.
Thrust.
Feminine doesn't show up at all. Sex.
Lustful beard.
Doesn't show up at all. Cock doesn't show up at all, but I'm only in chapter 1 out of 37.
I just want to imagine that when Harry's like rewriting people's minds, he accidentally fucks up and Hermione wakes up and is like, 2 + 5 = chicken.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's do this.
Finish it.
Steve, you'd better be reading the fun Finish version.
It. Do it.
Holly snorted.
Unprofessional, eh?
Holly snorted a massive line of cocaine.
She said, stripping as well.
Enjoy this.
I think that would go just a little bit beyond unprofessional. It'd be therapeutic, though.
True, Harry admitted. But enough about that. We both need some sleep, and we don't need to give ourselves nightmares.
Too late.
Too late.
He pulled back the covers on the bed and slipped in between them, clad only in his boxers.
Boxer clads?
Sure. Holly looked from her bed to her other half thoughtfully. Coming to a decision, she grabbed her pillow and flew over to Harry's bed. The spirit plopped herself down by Harry's head and pulled a clump of his hair over her like a blanket.
That's gonna hurt. Oh no, it's floor length hair, I forgot, so it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Comfy,
as long as yes. The floor.
Yeah, they said that like in the last
like 30 square ago. Feet. Is that what we're talking?
No, it's long enough to reach the floor, so like 5 feet.
I like to think more of it like it's actually like 150 square feet of like hard.
Harry, it, Harry is cousin it.
Wouldn't that get in your butt?
Oh yeah,
cousin it with a pair of slamming tits.
Sweet.
I'm okay with this.
I've seen porn of that.
All right, come on.
Comfy?
He asked. Holly hadn't done anything like that before. Harry wasn't going to complain, though. Holly murmured, settling in for the night.
Mind if we join you?
Yes.
Liz's voice called from the door.
You look a little lonely lying in bed like that.
Grandma, put those toffees away.
Harry sat up and looked toward the door. Fran, Len, and Liz walked into the bedroom. None of the three wore a stitch of clothing. Harry's
none of them wore Lilo and Stitch of clothing.
Drank in the sight of their nude forms. It wasn't the first time he'd seen the girls in a state of undress, but
welcome to the state
before.
Of undress. Our the state flower is the virginal flower.
The sales tax is 8%.
We have three major cities: Dildo, Bikini, and Hell.
I want to go to all but one of those places
at the same time.
Yeah, Bikini doesn't sound that fun.
Yeah, really. It just
But Microkini, on the other hand.
No,
it's awfully small. You're all cramped up in there.
Only if you've got boobs, which are a C cup.
Steve, yes. Please.
It wasn't the first time he'd seen the girls in a state of undress, but never before had he seen all three of them completely naked at the same time. He shook his head in disbelief and focused on Led. Did you wake them up, Len?
No, you're throbbing.
They were in the bathroom. You got back.
Liz answered for the succubus.
That's a horrible strong bath.
Whatever.
That'll be any worse than my one last week.
The air carried the fruity scent of the girl's shampoo and a faint smell Harry began to associate with sex.
It smelled like acetone, which was really weird.
It was the smell of sex, so it kind of made sense.
So White Castle and lubricant?
Yes. Yeah. Sounds like a fantastic time.
Can it be coconut lube? Just saying.
That's the episode title right there too, White Castle and lubricant.
Len pulled the covers off of Harry, pushed him onto his back, and draped herself across his body. The demigod looked down at his familiar trademark and relaxed. He combed his fingers through her silky hair with a gentle smile.
I thought for a second it was two separate words and it wasn't like the trademark inserted, like, I would call my cock the familiar trademark.
That's what I'm going with.
He combed his fingers through her silky hair with a gentle smile.
So what brings you ladies in here?
Well, Fran, not your voice anymore. See ya.
Fran and Liz shared a look and a nod.
The Rob pair Schneider.
The pair climbed into bed on either side of Harry. They settled their heads on his shoulders, being careful not to poke his face with their horns.
Oh, those goofy devil demon girls. So goofy.
Rob Schneider is the familiar trademark.
Right. Please read the last goddamn page.
Ooh,
I get to finish this.
And why did you write new? Oh, God.
Fran shyly kissed Harry on the cheek and answered him.
We were worried about you. I know you didn't like messing with your friend's memories.
Mm-hmm. We didn't want to leave our wife sulking in bed. You might end up getting wrinkles.
Liz teased, kissing Harry's other cheek. Harry let out a groan.
I seem to have acquired a new nickname.
He groused. Who, Fran?
Growls?
Do you not
Isn't
like
that
it?
Like the crap that builds up in your shower?
That's grout.
Grout.
Oh, sorry. One letter off.
Do you not like it?
Fran asked. Yeah, it just reminded me, Steve-O, I need to clean out my shower.
No, I thought a grouse was like a pheasant or something.
No, that's a grouse.
Oh. That's a grouse.
I thought it was kind of cute, but if you want us to stop...
The demigod ran his fingers through Fran's hair. They got tangled up, and he had to then cut off a large chunk of her hair.
I don't mind it too much. I was just grumpy for the sake of it. I just know that.
Sorry.
I just know that.
One more time.
I just know that. And my sisters are going to swap out my stuff for girls' clothes after they hear you call me that.
You're going to have to wear girls' clothes soon anyways. Liz spoke up, remember? You're growing boobs, and your body's definitely not boy-shaped. I seem to recall a 12-hour conversation in the infirmary about it. You're not going to be able to fit into boy clothes, especially once you start filling out more.
Wait, I thought he already had the boobs.
Yeah, he's growing. I was under the impression that his boobs were already there.
Yeah, now they're... Okay, I thought they were, like, large to begin with. Now they're turning into, like, the size of Rhode Island.
I'm okay
no, like,
that.
They're growing. They're about a C-cup right now.
Oh, so it's like a chia patch. It
starts that way.
Just water it and the boobs will grow.
Yep.
You got a point there!
Harry admitted he hadn't thought of that until now, but he'd have to at least rework his armored top to account for his growing bust. His jacket would need modifications as well. His I don't think he's probably mentioned it before. I'm sure he's got the most anime possible outfit. Anime OC possible outfit. Holly chimed in with a grin. So she, that makes the full stop means that she, fucking God, I hate people who can't write. Holly,
besides, I think you'd look much better in a dress, or maybe a French maid outfit like Satsuki's. Ooh. You know, Satsuki, that great character we spent at least half the story talking about, obviously.
Did we actually? Because I don't remember.
Probably not.
That's what Harry Potter looks like as anime. That's the most anime picture of Harry Potter I could find. The eyes are at least like a third the size of the face.
See, I was hoping it would just be like someone crudely photoshopping Harry Potter's eyes to be incredibly anime.
Okay. Harry let out a resigned sigh when he felt Fran, Len, and Liz nod in agreement. There would be no avoiding being dressed up as a maid now. Womp womp. The thought didn't bug him very much, though. Oh, no, so slide whistle. There would be no avoiding being dressed up as a maid now. The thought didn't bug him very much, though.
It'd be interesting to see how Altruz and my sisters react to me in a maid outfit,
he mused. An amused smile graced his face.
I wonder how my students would react to seeing me in a dress, especially if I reveal that I'm still a boy at the moment.
They wouldn't believe you, obviously. Polly giggled into his ear and burst one of his eardrums when she picked up his thoughts.
You sound kind of eager to see that.
Yes, we are all eager.
I don't know. Maybe I am,
he admitted to his other half.
It'll make one hell of a prank, I think. Wow. Good night, girls.
I don't think this guy knows how pranks work.
Harry settled back into the mattress. He drifted off quickly, lulled to sleep by the warmth of his lovers.
Kneel before Zod!
XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX Author's notes. This chapter was hard for me to write in many different ways. Just trying to write out a 12-year-old fangirl's thought process gave me a headache for days. Doing the mind dive scenes for Hermione and Neville was just as tough. I'll try to get the next chapter out by the end of November. What year was this written in?
Last year.
Perfect. But I can't make any promises. So you certainly can't. Anyways, read and review. Roy, and take out
your notes.
Studs, that one citation needed, the two patent pendings, the by Chanel, revert Neopat back to Neo Girl, and that one space pet back to Neo Space Girl, Dark Souls back to Dark, Heart Not Vagina back to Heart, Gorons back to Gorgons, get rid of which were a C-cup, get rid of Warcraft, get rid of tanks, get rid of geek permit growing for all nerds across the...
All right, now it's time to read a... basically, to sort of compensate for the fact that we went so long dry, we're going to read Harry Potter Sex Fiend by a Loki fan.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the other version of this fic.
No. We don't have time for that.
Question one. How do I tell a male dolphin from a female one?
Val,
answer one. Probably the most common question I get asked.
Val, you get to read first.
Shut him up, please.
I will be busy for a moment fixing the fic again. Oh, shit! The bingo card has a square for dolphin sex. I didn't know that. Perfect. You're welcome, whoever.
All right. It finally loaded. Harry Potter Sex Fiend by Loki Fan. It's from archiveofourown.org.
The best place for fanfiction on the internet these days.
/work/A33155. Summary. Drucker was very naughty to tease Arian into fucking him at the office. Clearly, he must be punished. Draco.
Yes.
Please. Notes.
Please
this
keep
was
going.
Written from my, yes.
What notes. Do you mean this was, went dry? We had sex last week, didn't we?
Doesn't matter. Yeah. It feels like we haven't.
What the fuck is this super tiny text one?
What?
Font size.
Clearly it takes one to know one.
Oh. Word text. Okay, I got it. Okay, notes. This was written for my free square for King Bingo round 2. And my chosen king was flogging.
Ew.
Okay. Vortex. How did it go? Draco asked, looking up from his book as Harry flewed, like fluid.
Flewed.
It's not Harry Potter anymore. I'm sorry. It's Harry flewed. Well, it's capital half, right after Harry. Like, yeah. From the Aurora offices into their living room. They live together now? Okay. Not too bad, Harry replied breezily, only to head right for the alcohol. Kingsley wasn't too furious. He mainly talked about what it would do to my reputation and the department's if the papers got hold of it. Harry Potter, 6 feet, Draco snickered. Shagging in the office, shagging in the head, shagging...
Shagging in the office, shagging in the head.
Yeehaw. Harry chuckled too, as he turned back towards Draco with a glass of whiskey in his hands. It would do them good to print something accurate for once. Then he changed his expression, felt it turn gray. He'd been thinking about sex with Draco for the last 20 minutes while Kingsley told him off, and about doing this for the last 10. He couldn't wait. Now, Draco, I think we'd better talk about your punishment. Draco's eye flickered up, and he frowned, but amusement was tugging at the corners of his mouth. Punishment? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent
David,
of
a, David, dude, yeah.
Nyeh.
There we go.
No, he does nyeh.
It's not nyeh, it's deh. It's
deh. No, I mean like what's written right now, Y-E, is yeah. For teasing me in the office like that. It was very bad of you, Draco, to tam me until I fuck you there. I could have been in real trouble. Naughty of me, Draco sputtered. It's not my workplace, you renegade. What the precious, why are you licking me? Like, stop licking my thigh. No. Ugh. And anyway, it's not my fault that you decided to do me over a desk. apparently. You wore that silk shirt. You know perfectly well how it affects me.
Did he literally just say, look at what you were wearing, you wore this on yourself?
Yes.
Yep.
I know.
This is a classy fic.
Yeah, no.
Made me rape you!
No, he didn't.
Well, no, it was consensual, but I'm gonna eat some delicious non-FNF cookies for this, because it makes me sad. Come on, package.
Can you keep reading and open the package later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of I'm gonna go get some Doritos.
Harry spoke civilly in the thick off of Kingsley's own tones. Affectionate authority. Inside, he was wriggling with glee at Draco's flush and the fast movement of his thin, mobile mouth as Draco tried to find something to say. Now strip and stand up. I'm feeling lenient, but any more defiance and I'll be in the... And it'll be good pain.
He's being too serious. Any more defiance?
Right. Draco is inserting the penis in the mouth like mid-threat.
Right, also, that's not how a dumb sub relationship works.
No, not at all.
People have no idea. Right at that thought briefly crossed Draco's face. He really hated the cane, which was part of why Harry loved it. The other reason was how appropriate it was when they played schoolboy and professor and Draco was bad.
Then Draco...
Still not how it works.
Then Draco pushed back the fright and rolled his eyes.
I'm starting to think all that handcuffing suspects has gone to your head, Potter.
When did you become Sonic the Hedgehog? I believe I have undone all the changes I made to
Hooray! Yay, Roy! Thank you.
I'm not surprised.
He turned resolutely back to his book, setting his mouth firmly against any rebuttal. He was so endearing to Harry like this. Harry was guilty of deliberately putting Draco on the defensive sometimes to watch him stiffen and fluff up like one of those ridiculous Malfoy peacocks.
I got bingo! Sorry, I was just catching up on the bingo card. I got bingo!
Even better was to strip that affronted dignity entirely, to watch the bravado crumble into embarrassment or desperation. Harry sighed and said, "This gives me no pleasure, I'll have you know." Chili dogs.
Delicious chili dogs stuck on.
That was a huge lie. He waved his wand, spoke a word, and Draco's clothes were gone. Draco jerked and dropped a fairly honorable defeat. He flushed hotly, cheeks and eyes both bright, as he saw Harry's lascivious smile. Lascivious? Yeah, lascivious smile. Lascivious! After a lifetime in polite society and polite, voluminous robes, he wasn't used to being leered at so openly. He was embarrassed by eyes cataloging his body, by Harry's visible enjoyment of his muscled arms and pink nipples and bitten patches of creamy skin.
It's weird that his nipples were pink. Normally, they're bright neon green.
No, right? It must have been something he ate.
It was sweet. Sometimes Harry hid his glances so Draco would feel comfortable. At other times, he ogled openly, liking the way color spilled over his cheeks, down his chest. God, you're gorgeous!
God, you're gorgeous!
Harry breathed. Draco smiled, but dropped his eyes, shy. That vulnerability had Harry's cock straining to be inside him. You know what?
It was passing through a strainer. It was actually a little uncomfortable.
Alright, you know what? Sonic, a little inappropriate for this. I'm gonna go with a voice that's a little bit more subdued and appropriate. Okay, sweetheart, bend over the chair, the arm of the chair, and take your punishment.
Fucking shit, I was gonna do that myself.
If you're good, you can pick the next fantasy we try. Harry laughed. That promise.
And the next fantasy will be terrifying.
Harry laughed. That promise had Draco scrambling out of the armchair and bending over, pushing his round, peachy bottom out for Harry's inspection. I take it you have something in mind? Hell yeah!
No, just something in your butt.
David!
Oh god.
You can do it!
Come on, this one's actually fun.
Are we sure about that?
Yes!
We're on page three, right?
We're on page three. I've had a lot of fun thus far.
Okay, this is where Draco jerked, right?
Harry circled Draco.
Okay, that's not page three.
No, it's the middle of page three where the divider is.
P3.
Oh, okay.
Harry circled Draco, enjoying a sense of power. Draco's shoulders tense a little. Anxious Harry didn't want that.
Dave, read it so like a jazz DJ at 3 in the morning.
So he smoothed the reassuring hand down Draco's bare back. Watching muscles relax. Even as he silently summoned the flogger, the straps were soft red.
Summoned
leather.
The flogger? Is that what you kids call it these days?
Harry enjoyed his weight in his hand, casting down eyes on Draco's pale, lanky body. He tried to choose. Where should he mark first? Should he start slow or go for initial shock? Harry smiled wickedly and sent a light blow at the inside of Draco's left thigh. He gasped and spread his legs a little further so Harry could see his balls.
Say that one more time, please.
So Harry could see his
balls. Hello, Judy.
Good boy,
he cooed. Now, wait.
Now stay spread, all right? I want to see all of what's mine.
He set about flogging Draco's arse. Pressing red remnants of pain over his round arse cheeks.
Now you just sound like some sort of, like, cowboy rustler.
It works.
It's fine. Stick with it.
Do John Wayne.
No.
H. Stegen strand of leather made a sound as it hit. That sound had Harry hardening further and almost Pavlovian response, as he was sure it made Draco squirm. Draco only breathed hard at first.
I'm getting Wriggling flashbacks to like 10 episodes of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Wriggling a little as Harry warmed him up.
Harry turned into the fucking Bronco down at the local saloon.
Then his body twisted more from the blows as they grew harder.
I don't like John Wayne. Give me somebody else.
Go back to the DJ.
Scooby-Doo.
Ren. Is Roddy Richard?
No. That was a mistake.
No, it wasn't. I'm so fucking smart.
I am a smart. SMRT. SMART.
SMARC?
No, SMRT. You don't. That.
David, it honestly doesn't matter what voice you do it in.
SMARC.
David.
No.
It doesn't matter what voice you do it in. Just do it.
Okay.
You asked for this, Steve.
Wriggly a little as Harry warmed him up. Then his body's twisted more from the blows as they grew harder. But then, Draco's creamy skin was glowing.
You colored up so very easily. Draco's breath hits the smack of the flogger over the other side of his arse. Just where it met his eyes. Harry swallowed. Diggity.
Are you getting sexed up right now?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Very hot.
Oh. You're getting hot with them Doritos?
Well, it's like with the Doritos roulette. You like the hot?
I got that. Oh. I tried one of the, I got the hot chip the first fucking one I pulled out, and I'm like, shit.
Shit's good. Shit's good. The mark sprang up from a deeper red, already beginning to bruise. Then he did it again. And again. And Draco shrieked. And danced beneath the blows. After the fourth, he took a look at Harry's face. His face was wet.
Stop.
He pleaded. Harry shook his head.
It's not your choice, sweetheart.
But yes, it is. It's entirely his choice. Shut your fucking mouth.
It's
oh my god.
It's not your choice, sweetheart. But you can cry out as loudly as you like.
Well, it's not his choice because he hasn't issued the safe word, banana cream pie.
No, the safe word is Gnunga Sabagoglin.
No, the safe word translated from Star Wars Episode 1 is... Tamsu, it's your turn.
Oh, man.
Part 4.
Draco was already groaning before the next blow hit. His body twisted from each blow, his pale feet dancing under him. But every time, he got himself back in place for the next smack. Harry made him take a dozen hits in all. By the end, he was crying into the upholstery. When Harry threw the flogger down, signaling that it was over, he shuddered a little and looked round without shifting from his position. The sight of his tear-streaked, flushed face as he waited to hear if Harry would say if he was finished. It filled Harry with simultaneous lust and tenderness until he was almost dizzy with emotion.
Shh, Draco, it's okay,
he said quietly.
We've finished.
I fucking hate this new wave of fanfiction writers. I fucking hate it.
Fake BDSM?
The people, the fucking Tumblr crowd who think they know what BDSM is. Jesus.
I know, it's not even that hard to, like, go look it up on Reddit or some shit.
Research it. Join some forums. Ask.
Draco nodded, but still didn't move from his position. Bent spread-legged over the armchair, naked and sweaty and sweet and... Harry sweet banished his own clothing with a mumbled spell and almost fell forward to cuddle Draco. He wrapped his left arm round Draco's waist, holding him there. Draco relaxed into his arms with a little murmur of contentment, and for a moment they simply stayed there, feeling skin on hot skin. Harry nuzzled Draco's neck, then kissed him, trailing kisses down towards his shoulders. Draco's shoulders heaved once, then stopped shaking as Draco calmed. He shifted a little in Harry's arms as Harry kept kissing him, mumbling happily. He was always like this in the aftermath. Cuddly and expressive, letting Harry draw cries from him uncensored. The heat of his buttocks was pressed against Harry's groin. He couldn't wait any longer.
That is so bad. It's totally not how it works.
Harry
raised
the
I told
the
you
hand.
I'd pick a good one. I'm delivering.
Axio lubricant. He said hoarsely.
Okay, I need to quickly interject here. So I did read that Harry Potter Fooder one-shots fanfic that we mentioned last week or the week before. It was super hot, but unfortunately they're actually really, really well written and also pretty long, so we can't read them. Mm-hmm. But they do away with the need for lubricant by just making a constant lubrication spell that people cast on Harry's ass. And nothing beats that. This is close, but you can't beat just having a spell. Yeah, just lubricate it.
Okay.
Also, it's every single chapter is always the same. It was the size of Harry's arm, and they immediately pounded him into oblivion.
We're losing him.
Draco, rubbing himself against Harry, all that warmed skin pressed close. Harry swallowed, feeling lust beat heavy inside him. Draco wouldn't let Harry's arm go, so it stayed wrapped round his middle while Harry lubed and opened him with one awkward hand. Then he slicked himself. eyes shutting as he touched himself, listening to Draco's whines as the other boy pressed himself back against him. He spread Draco's cheeks awkwardly. Draco thrust his arse out to meet Harry's touch, moaning, and pushed into him. A few long, careful thrusts, and Harry was fully inside, his groin pressed firmly against Draco's still blazing skin. He pushed deliberately against Draco, enjoying the ragged, hurt sounds that drew from his throat.
As opposed to pushing accidentally against Draco.
Next up is Steve Van Sickle, and Roy, you're not going to get to read this fic, but I have another fic picked out just for you.
I get to read all 270,000 words.
No, I have one that's about 800 words picked out just for you.
I can tell. Steve thinks he can beat me. He can't beat me.
No, it's not that I can't beat you. I just think that you're going to have you're going to feel really bad reading this.
Draco pushed back now. They found a rhythm, swift and practiced. Harry wrapped his fingers around Draco's sticky cock and winked it as he pulled his other arm from around Draco's middle, ignoring the soft sound of protest. Harry laid his left hand gently over the curve of Draco's arse, resisting the urge to pinch. Draco pushed back and forth between his hands, groaning into the armchair. He'd put his head down as if he wanted to muffle the sounds. His clutching arse was tight round Harry's cock, his body slick with sweat. Harry barely had to do any work, simply rocking into him slow and easy while he enjoyed the remnants of Draco's breathing. Beating. Damn it. He traced the lines the flogger had left. Draco's cock and arse were equally hot with blood rising beneath the skin. It was gorgeous.
He sounded like a southern medical professor.
Fair enough. He slapped Draco's arse once, drawing a sharp cry. That sound broke Harry's self-control. His attempt to go slow and enjoy every detail of Draco. He grabbed Draco's hip and began thrusting harder, feeling his heart speed up to match it. Draco reached to pull at his own cock, their hands twined together for a moment before Harry drew his back. He clutched both Draco's hips now, feeling his fingers dig in, knowing he was leaving little lines of fingerprint bruises behind. His grip on Draco's haunches.
Haunches!
Damn it!
It had a few hunches.
Bye, New Roswell.
His grip on Draco's haunches brought Draco's body back and forth with him. Draco was plying, letting Harry shove and clutch and thrust and pull at his body even as his arm jerked in blur as he wanked himself.
As he what?
As he wanked himself.
Wonderful.
Then Harry shoved in. Once, twice, and came. Draco was whining. Harry, still panting as he recovered, reached round, and they jerked Draco off together before falling back and clambering onto the sofa.
I imagine that's a lot harder to do than this fic is implying. I mean, it's hard enough with just your own hands and you have full control over them. Having another person doing it simultaneously just seems like you'd have a lot of, like, contact, like collisions.
You can't really move.
A lot of overlap going on.
Steve, I don't know if you've noticed this, but fan fiction is not exactly the most realistic.
No! It is 100% anatomically correct. Absolutely correct.
They lay sweatily entangled, still panting, for long minutes before Harry spoke.
So, what was that fantasy you wanted to try?
Draco looked up at him with a wicked grin and began swirling a finger around Harry's nipple. Extra persuasion, then. He must want it badly.
Well, you've had sex in your office, Harry. And there's this big gap under my desk. You could definitely fit in there if you squeezed.
If you squeezed.
If you squeezed, yeah.
Duh.
All right, and now just for Roy, a little bit longer than...
Who's your Schweinorg?
A little bit longer than... a single person's read, but I think Roy deserves it. So, this is Sharp by Things Are Queer.
I'm gathering from the description that this is a Xena Warrior Princess fanfiction?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh,
I'm not familiar with, like, you know, like.
Wait, did they not air Xena in Australia?
Maybe they did. I don't think I was old enough to.
Have you ever seen the Hercules? Have you ever seen the Hercules series?
I kind of know in general, like, you know, Xena, like what Xena, yeah, the concept of the character is.
Okay.
Yeah, so Gabrielle is the chick that kept following her around.
And then it was
okay.
Secret
so
lesbian.
Xena, yeah, well, Xena almost openly hot. Lesbian. No,
okay, let me just figure this out. So Xena is super hot and amazing and powerful, and Gabrielle is ultra thirsty.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
But she's also pretty damn hot. She's just like blonde and stupid and more than often just gets in the way and fucks shit up.
I should
Xena
not
is basically the chick version of Hercules without the demigod aspect. She's just like that awesome. She doesn't need so
I
like.
Should, I should probably not read.
Yeah, don't read the notes.
Yeah, for the listeners at home who aren't going to read along. Text. It's so very hard to breathe like this with nothing above her but the stars. That seems like it should be easier to breathe. And one star that's more important than all the rest. A star with blue eyes and dark hair and.
Y
that
Foundation.
I restrain myself. Thank you very much.
That yeah, well, matches, I'm not you.
That matches the rest of the sky. A star that lives every detail of life with such ferocity and intensity that sometimes Gabrielle is taken aback. Even now. Even after what seems like years of this. Do you trust me?
No!
It's not an idle question. Gabrielle swallows down another breath of air. You really should probably see someone if that's how you're breathing. Her eyes search Xena's face frantically. The other woman's smile is a bright glimmer in the shadows with just a glint of teeth betraying the edge to her words. If there's no light, you can't see teeth. I don't care how.
Her teeth were radioactive.
There's an Australian author, or maybe he's British, called Paul Jennings, and he actually wrote a story about a kid who has like teeth that literally glow bright white in the dark. It was actually really touching. It's a kid story. It's really fun.
Oh, okay.
She had one of those club mouthpieces that glows like a glow stick. Totally, they had glow sticks back then.
Gonna take a quick bite of this fun-sized Snickers. Glint of teeth betraying the edge to her words. Gabrielle catches the shine of something silver gleaming between them, a sharp edge to match Xena's sharp smile. What? It's almost a dare. Gabrielle's eyes take in the length of the dagger in the other woman's hand. When was it in her hand?
It's glued there. I don't know.
This person doesn't understand how anatomy works. I think am anatomy. It's slight. Adamantum anatomy. It's slight.
Phenomena.
Gabrielle knows from experience. She knows that just a stroke can kill a man. Well, stop stroking it. Don't stroke it. Stroke the cock.
What a way to go.
If Xena uses it right. If Xena wants to use it right. Gabrielle's gaze lifts to Xena's face almost defiantly. Bonus points for correct use of defiantly.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this?
It's Gabrielle.
It's Gabrielle? Yes. Okay. You know I can trust you.
You screwed it up and you made me laugh.
I mean, I watched the movie once.
No, I meant it's you know I trust you.
I said trust.
You said you know I can trust you.
No.
This does make much more sense. Yeah. Well then, it's as snarky of a comeback as the other woman can make in that moment. Well then, yeah. Gabrielle recognizes the flash of lust she sees in those brilliantly blue eyes. Xena's difficult to read sometimes. But not like this. Not like this. Pull the plug.
God damn you, Cypher.
God damn you, Cypher. I'm probably really pissed at you or something. I don't know. We're on the phone. Are you going to hang up soon? You're costing me minutes. Not like this. At least not now. There had been a time long ago where she hadn't known how to discern the other woman's moods. Lust was so easily mistaken for anger back then.
Wait a minute, that's that dial, holy crap.
That's a pretty big dichotomy.
Yeah.
But not now. She knows Xena's face like the back of her hand. Unfortunately, she doesn't have hands. She knows each tiny detail and how it shifts with her reactions, like her hand constantly shifts its skin. And right now, Xena wants... The cold feeling of metal tapping against her breastbone. Why does Google think that's a mistake?
I don't know.
Makes Gabrielle's breath catch sharply, which is a problem considering how much trouble she's having breathing in the first place. The contact is light.
careful, but intentional too. One slip off the hand and Xena could cut her. But Xena won't make that mistake. No, if she does it, it will be completely intentional. Gabrielle's eyes slide shut on a shudder, her body trembling when she feels the blade slide smoothly up to caress her cheek. Xena!
Beautiful.
Her voice breaks in a crack, and she can feel more than this than see the slightly pleased smile that slides across Xena's lips. Was Xena an Ice Queen in the actual show?
Yeah, kind of. She never showed emotions.
Unfortunately, a lot of her stuff was... it's supposed to be prominent female protagonist, but some of the writers shoehorned her as just
Strong female protagonist as lesbian. Written by a guy. Got it.
Yeah, raging butch lesbian was sort of what it ended up being stereotyped as during some episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then those deliciously curved lips are against her own, pressing the lightest of kisses there. It's in complete counterpoint to the sharp fear of having metal against her skin, and yet erotic even still.
Erotic!
Xena is warm against her, the feeling of leather more annoying now and less erotic. Gabrielle wants skin.
Well, just go to KFC. I mean, they've got tons of skin on their chicken.
They go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And no, it's not Kentucky. You would need a Greece equivalent to that. What's an equivalent in Greece?
Athens Fried Chicken.
I guess.
They go to Sodom Fried Chicken.
Yep.
The chicken is extra fucking good. Gabrielle wants skin. Please! She whispers, a soft sound breaking free from her throat when the knife moves again. Gabrielle gazes up at Xena, torn open and raw and vulnerable. Put these on, Brad and Janet. The other woman wears an expression of infinite tenderness coupled with the dark desire in those eyes. It's weird how she wears them, almost like masks. Scroll, scroll, scroll. There's an almost indiscernible sound, a soft as Gabrielle feels the pressure of the dagger being applied. There's a line of soft stinging between her breasts, and the fabric of her shirt loses some of its tension.
Rip, tear.
Gabrielle gasps. But doesn't move. Xena smiles a little and then leans down, nuzzling slightly where it stings the most. She feels Xena's lips like a shock, soft and warm and moist and carrying 200 volts against skin to open to the air. The subtle lick of her tongue as Gabrielle whimpering, legs shakily shifting when she feels cool metal against the inside of one thigh. It's too much, too hot, too tight, too tense, like a toiger.
Tension.
So yeah, how's my pop filter doing?
Just keep going, we got 3 minutes.
Pretty good, actually.
She's shaking so badly. Don't move, Xena orders, her tone as sharp as the edge of the dagger. Gabrielle freezes with an obedience that's unparalleled to any of her responses in the light of day. The tip of her dagger dances higher, following the tender skin and dragging the fabric of her skirt up, 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 dot, dot, dot. New paragraph, a light touch where she's most sensitive, has Gabrielle gasping loudly and jerking. But it's not sharp. But it's not sharp. It's soft and knowing, circling where she likes it best. Relief and arousal in her beard where the clit is. Relief and arousal wash over her jointly. Is it supposed to be gently, maybe? Or just her joints? Making her quiver so hard.
No, as in like relief and arousal together jointly wash over her.
Okay, relief and arousal jointly wash over her, or wash over her together, making her quiver so hard. Xena's working harder now, sweet pressure that has Gabrielle calling out and shivering and freezing like stone. She pulls a gasp of air now and then, almost forgetting to breathe, which is really a problem, considering what we talked about. It's hard to breathe. Also, I'm forgetting to breathe anyway, until Xena reminds her in that sweet way that she adores. Breathe, Gabriella. Breathe, my darling. It's too much. Gabrielle's body goes tight and still, hands gathering and twisting in Xena's dark hair long ago, and then Xena, from the pain, accidentally jerks the knife and cuts her brachial artery. Whoops!
Well, that was dark.
That's how knife play goes. Be fucking careful. It's that way for just a moment before pulsing light finally lets her fall. What? She dips with the wave of one shock at a time, each pulse sweeter and softer than the last.
She had her eyes shut so tight that when she orgasmed, the blood vessels in her eyeballs caused it to look white.
No, it turned her eyes crimson, which revealed so much depression and evilfulness.
I told her not to use Kool-Aid in her saline solution!
No, she was wearing color contacts, until it's just her and Xena again. Laying under the trees with the fire cracking in the background, apparently cracking isn't a word, Gabrielle distantly recognizes that she's still shivering. Yeah, because you cut all of your clothes off, and this, you're in the middle of fucking stupid people. Fingers trembling as they trace the delicate cheekbones of Xena's face, which were pretty high up. Xena was pretty feminine. I don't know if you knew this. Xena's looking down at her, concern making her features tight like a tiger. Are you all right? Gabrielle lets out a choked laugh, reaching up with one hand to wipe back her bangs. You're crazy, but I'm fine. I'm turbo-tastic.
All right, so Roy, you want to recap the episode then?
We finished off what is ostensibly a story that was about 35% a guy standing in an infirmary talking about how gender issues are totally, you know, something that we should all think about, but doing it in the worst possible way that, you know, could have been done. And then we read a nice, horribly written BDSM fic between Harry and Draco. And then I blanked out for about 15 minutes, and now we're here.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Friday Night Fan Fiction. Thanks to our readers, the usual suspects, and also Steve Van Sickle and Tansu. Thanks to the chat, who's full of mostly the people on the call, and also
Vilecat, Beast Raider, DG 20016, yeah. Fizz, level 90, level 100, Nodachi, Roy 42, Tensu, and Wolfboy 1988.
The better of the 1989 Wolfboys.
All right, so are we done then?
That's it. Are we doing next week?
I haven't disconnected yet.
Yeah, what is next week? That's the question.
Oh, winter wrap up, summer wrap up.
Okay, so next week we'll be singing the winter wrap up. Was there a panel or something next week?
It's this coming Saturday at Con Bravo in Canada, and I should be back for FNF on Monday.
Okay, that's not going to be streamed or anything. That's just going to be something that there will be an archive of.
Correct. Well, I don't know if it'll be recorded. It's just I'm going to be reading fan fiction in Canada.
We hope it's going to be recorded.
Yeah, hopefully somebody gets it.
And for the record,
So next week we'll let you know. We'll let everyone know if there's something that you can listen to of that.
And Solacion Daycare's Excellent Adventure should be posted next Friday. Not this coming Friday, but next Friday to go along with our final episode of the season so that people can listen to it, because I've been getting pestered about it nonstop.
Oh, I thought we already had that. Oh, no, because that was just before FNF, and we only put the other season one stuff
on,
didn't
we? Correct. And then we're going to be taking a break for the entire month of August. We should be back sometime in early September.
All right. Yay! Thanks for listening.
Yay!
Bye! Bye!
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fan Fiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fan fictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.